Nice. Thank you. Sorry about that. I just want to make sure that I give this some room here. He's a pastor in town here, very godly man. He's an excellent public communicator. He's got a great-sized church here in Nashville. And we had never met, but we knew of each other. And he called me one day and said, "Can I take you to lunch?" Well, whenever someone offers to take you to lunch, is that not always the will of God, right? And so he was buying, so I said, absolutely. So we were over here at J. Alexander's in Cool Springs, and within the first 5 minutes, I knew this guy's going to be a friend. We were supposed to have lunch together today, but his mother-in-law passed away, so he needed to be in Mississippi. But we visited for 5-10 minutes, just small talk, and then he said, let me get to why I wanted to talk with you. And he said, "Dave, in my church, we really know the word." And he said, "I could have people come to the table here. They could highlight Hebrews. They could give you an overview of Romans." Then he dropped his glasses, you know, kind of down here, and he leaned across the table, and here's what he said: "But they're not being transformed. And I don't know how to do that." I mean, as a pastor, just being really honest and humble. And he just said, "I thought because you focus a lot on making disciple makers that you might be able to help me." I said, "Well, we'll give it a go. We'll see if this is a help to you." And what I did is I took my finger and I drew three circles like this with my finger on the board. I don't think you have these in your notes. I could be wrong. But I want to just give these to you. And so his name is Carter. And I said, "So Carter, you're focusing on transformation." So think of it kind of as a progression. So your end game is you want to see people transformed. He said, "Yeah, I really do." He said, "Like, they know the word, but they're not loving their wives any better. They don't serve the church any better. They don't care any more for the lost than they did before. Transformation is not getting into their hearts." And so, you know, this is the Matthew 7 portion. You know, "He who hears my word," all right? And so I said to him, I said, "Carter, you know as a pastor, right, you can't transform anybody, and every pastor knows that that's the case. You want to." It's like, you know, sometimes when you run a small group and you do kind of the fun get-to-know-you questions at the beginning, one time, or I've had several times, the question is, if you could have one superpower, what would it be? You know, some people do the Spider-Man thing or the Superman thing or the X-ray vision. Mine would be that I could go into somebody's heart for 5 minutes and make 5 choices for them and pull out. Like, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. He's going to be the Lord of my life. I'm going to be an excellent relator to people. I'm going to use my gifts for God's glory, et cetera, et cetera. Imagine if you just made those decisions. I'm going to forgive everybody in my... And you pulled out. My job is done here, all right? But we know it doesn't work that way. And I can't change anybody. And that's one of the things we have to come to grips with, is you and I cannot change anybody, okay? But I like to just, you know, put this here representing the size of an apple seed. An apple seed, like many other things, reminds us of the vastness of God's ability to transform. He takes an apple seed that's about this size, and not only does he reproduce another apple, but a tree. And not only another tree, but an orchard. And not only an orchard, but potentially hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of orchards through that. God has the ability to take something very small and do an incredible work. God is the one that brings transformation. Not only to apple seeds, but to people. Okay? So that's God's work. Then I pointed him here and put the letter R there, representing the word revelation. Revelation. Now let me just speak to this a minute. I don't want you thinking only the book of Revelation, though this applies to that. But in the New Testament, the word revelation means this: the parting of curtains. Means the parting of curtains. So like imagine being at a junior high play, you know, niece, nephew, son, daughter, grandchild, friend, whatever. And, you know, you walk in and the theater and everybody's kind of yakking and visiting. And then, you know, somebody flicks the lights and we all know it's time to get quiet, find a seat, sit down. We all do that. And that minute before that curtain opens, you have no idea what's back there. 30 seconds before, 10 seconds, 1 second before. But once that curtain opens and you see, oh my gosh, it's the Mayflower, or it's a space shuttle, or it's a Hawaiian island, or an old western town, or whatever it is, you go, oh, now I see. That's revelation. And we often confuse revelation and facts. Okay, so for example, if you've ever read through the book of Esther, you'll notice that God's name is not even mentioned in there once. Okay. And so if you see that, you go, wow, look at all this activity of God in here, yet his name's not even mentioned once. That's a fact. Okay, that's a fact. That's not revelation. Revelation is when God reveals something to you and it strikes something inside, and revelation always demands a response. Whether it's worship and praise and thanksgiving, whether it's, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I had such bitterness towards my dad. And you realize this demands a response that I need to get this right. Okay, revelation is something when God shows you something and he's speaking to you. That's God speaking to you. That's God showing you something. So this Sunday, you know, as Pastor Steve was sharing, you know, about God's sovereignty, was there things in there where you're just going, oh my gosh, yeah, I never worship when things are bad. I just, my attitude goes south and I, you know, get bittered up and all of a sudden now you had revelation. Some of you are just repenting, going, oh my gosh, Lord, please forgive me. And I commit my heart to be a worshiper in them. See, that's revelation that demanded a response. Are you guys following me? So think about Jesus when he's with the disciples and he says, who do people say that I am? Remember, they say, well, some say you're Elijah or one of the prophets or John the Baptist come back to life. Well, who do you say to him? Who pipes up? Do you remember? Peter. He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen to Jesus' response. Like transformation, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And there's the word. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. Like transformation, you cannot get spiritual revelation on your own. The thing I like about it is I can position myself in the Word, in worship, in fellowship, in prayer, in obedience. I can position myself for it to receive from God. But I can't make spiritual revelation happen. That's only something that is a work of the Holy Spirit. So whenever you go, like this happens, you go, oh my gosh, I see it now. Guess what? You're understanding something from the Spirit of God, whether you're reading your Bible or someone else is speaking it or whatever the case may be. Revelation. All right? Well, God's doing all the heavy lifting here. He's doing this and he's doing this. What's our role? Our role here is obedience. It's obedience. Let me say it this way. When God reveals something, it's not meant to be negotiated. It's meant to be obeyed. Okay? And by the way, when I'm talking about obedience, because I don't know where all of you are coming from on this, obedience is not when Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. It wasn't like this. If you love me, doggone it, prove it by obedience. It was like this. You'll have to look at me to see this. I think it was like this. If you love me, you'll obey me. It's all about falling in love with Jesus. And when you fall in love with Jesus, it's how can I not help but obey him? So it's not some rigid, legalistic kind of deal. It's about obeying him out of love. And so I just want to show you this. I'm going to close here in about a minute or two, but I just want to show you this because I wanted something to be real tangible for you tonight. You guys can talk about this in your groups. But I promise you, it's like when God shows you something, you have this window here and it's either obedience or disobedience, Matthew 7. Okay? When you've obeyed something, you have this window here that's spelled this. Trust. There are some areas in my life right now I'm obeying, and I mean this either in my life or through my life, and it hasn't happened here yet. What do you do in the meantime? You trust God with, like Proverbs 3, trust the Lord with half your heart, right? Isn't that what it says? Yeah. Trust the Lord with all your heart. But I want you to think about the second line, and do not lean on your own understanding. Whenever you start leaning on your own understanding, it means you're not trusting. That's my diagnostic tool. When I'm just thinking it through, okay, if I do this and make that happen, and maybe if I am realizing, no, there's nothing wrong with using my mind, but it's, am I using that in replace of trusting? Okay? And here's a little clue. If there's somebody in your life you're trying to help walk in obedience, because that's really what a disciple maker does, is a disciple maker guides people into obeying Jesus. Okay? That's it's that simple. So let's say there's somebody you're trying to guide into obedience, but it's not taking. One of the questions you need to ask is, are you trying to have them obey something that they haven't seen yet? And when they haven't seen it yet, they're going to have a hard time obeying it. And so it gives me then, as a prayer person, okay, God, I just pray for them. Because sometimes it's not just me teaching it more. Have you ever noticed with your kids, and you try to just teach them more, it doesn't necessarily, because we think if I just teach them this piece of wisdom, surely they're going to change. Have you ever noticed that doesn't happen? They need to see it for themselves. So pray for revelation. And as you pray for revelation, then there's an opportunity they have to choose obedience. And when you choose obedience, God moves in transformation. And you can see this all over Scripture. All right? Just start looking at it through this lens. You'll see that. Okay? So let me turn it back over to you guys.